Text. The Great Idea of Mr. Budd, Dorothy L. Sayers. Mr. Budd finished drying the man's head and began to comb the hair, which nature had never made such a deep red. "Be quick as you can, won't you?" said the man pleasantly, but a little impatiently. "It's getting late. I'm afraid that I'll keep you late." "Not at all, sir," said Mr. Budd. "It doesn't matter in the least." No, if he tried to rush out the door, this terrible man would jump on him, drag him back, and break his head open as he had done to his aunt. But Mr. Budd was certainly in a position of advantage. A determined man would be out in the street before the man could get out of the chair. Mr. Budd began to move round cautiously towards the door. "What's the matter?" said the man. "I was just going outside to look at the time, sir," said Mr. Budd, pausing obediently. "It's 8:25, said the man. "I'll pay extra for keeping you late." "Certainly not, sir," said Mr. Budd. It was too late now. He couldn't make another attempt. Was it really too late? He could take a razor, go up quietly behind the unsuspecting man, and say in a firm, loud voice, "William Strickland, put up your hands. Your life is in my hands. Stand up until I take your gun away. Now walk straight out to the nearest policeman." But Mr. Budd couldn't seriously believe that the attempt would succeed. If he held the razor to the man's throat and said, "Put up your hands," the man would probably seize him by the wrist and take the razor away. Mr. Budd told himself that he didn't have to arrest the man. "Information which results in arrest," those were the words. It was at this moment that Mr. Budd had his great idea. As he fetched a bottle from the glass-fronted case, he remembered with great cleverness an old wooden paper knife that had belonged to his mother. On the handle had been painted the words, "Knowledge is power." Mr. Budd experienced a strange feeling of freedom and confidence. He made light conversation as he skillfully dyed the man's hair dark brown. The streets were less crowded when Mr. Budd let him out. He watched the tall figure cross the square and get onto the bus. The man at the police headquarters didn't take Mr. Budd seriously at first, when he demanded to see somebody very important. But when the little barber continued so earnestly to say that he had information about the Manchester murder, and that there was no time to waste, he allowed him to pass through. Mr. Budd told his story to an important-looking officer, who listened very politely and made him repeat the bits about the tooth, which was filled with gold, the thumbnail on the hair which had been black before it was gray or red, and which was now dark brown. He crushed his soft hat into a ball as he leaned across the table and explained the great idea that he had had. The message flashed to all ships around the coast of Britain, to harbors and police centers in England, France, Holland, Germany, Denmark, and Norway. And the people in them heard, with laughter and excitement, the story of Mr. Budd's great idea. The Miranda reached Ostend at 7 a.m. A man burst into the cabin where the radio officer was just finishing his work. "Here," he cried, "you're to send this message. Something's happening, and the captain sent for the police." The officer turned to his radio. A message started on its way to the English police. "Man described by police is on board. has locked himself in cabin and refuses to come out. Is demanding that a hairdresser be sent to him. We have been in touch with Ostend police, waiting for orders. The captain with 5 sailors went to the first-class cabin, number 36. The passengers inside could be heard walking up and down the narrow cabin, moving things and knocking them over. Soon, 6 Belgian policemen arrived. Are you ready? Yes. The captain knocked at the door. Who is it? Cried a hard, sharp voice. The hairdresser that sent for you is here, sir. Ah! The voice was full of relief. Send him in alone, please. I've had an accident. Yes, sir. At the sound of the lock being turned, the captain stepped forward. The door opened a little and was quickly pushed to again. But the captain had stuck his boot between it and the doorpost. The policeman rushed forward. There was a shout and a shot, which went harmlessly through the window, and the passenger was brought out. Good heavens! Shouted the cabin boy. He's gone green in the night! Green! Mr. Budd had not wasted the years which he had spent studying the behavior of dyes. Knowledge is power. The knowledge of Mr. Budd had given him the power to put a mark on his man, which made him different from every other person in the world. A murderer could hide himself nowhere when every hair on his head was bright green. Mr. Budd got his £500. The Evening Messenger printed the full story of his great idea. But Mr. Budd was afraid. Surely no one would ever come to him again. The next morning, a large blue car stopped outside his door. A lady, wearing many jewels and an expensive fur coat, walked into the little shop. You're the great Mr. Budd. You're wonderful. And now, dear Mr. Budd, you must do me a favor. You must dye my hair green at once. Now, I want to be able to say that I am the first to be done by you. I am the Duchess of Winchester, and Lady Melicaster is following me down the street, because she wants to be the first.